Amen. All right, here we go. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 10 says this. Paul is writing to the church in Corinth, and he goes, But it was to us that God revealed these things by His Spirit. For His Spirit, search out everything and shows us God's deep secrets. No one can know a person's thoughts except the person's own spirit. And no one can know God's thoughts except for God's own spirit. And we have received God's spirit, not the world's spirit, so we can know the wonderful things God has freely given us. Verse 13. When we tell you these things, we do not use words that come from human wisdom. Instead, we speak words given to us by the Spirit, using the Spirit's words to explain the spiritual truth. But people who aren't spiritual cannot receive these truths from God's Spirit. It all sounds foolish to them, and they cannot understand it, for only those who are spiritual can understand what the Spirit means. Verse 15. Those who are spiritual can evaluate all things, but they themselves cannot be evaluated by others. Verse 16. For who can know the Lord's thoughts? Who knows enough to teach Him? But we understand these things, for we have the mind of Christ. Amen. All right. There's one word, or the equivalent of that word, that is found from verse 10 through the end of the chapter. Anybody want to guess what word that would be that keeps popping up in these verses?
Spirit.
Or spiritual. And so the thing about it, this is the same word or the same idea that keeps popping up. Is spirit or spiritual? I'm telling us, everybody you ever met, everybody you ever will meet is spiritual. Because they have a spiritual being in them. Because when God created man, He breathed on Adam, and life came into him. And the thing about it is that God wants to breathe on everyone to bring life into them. But everybody's spiritual, everybody has faith. But the question is, where is their faith? Where is it? Because even Jesus looked at them and He says, "You, ye of little faith," that what He's talking about there was little faith in Him or in God Himself. So we all have faith. How many of you had faith that no one would hit you on the way to church? That no one would hit you. Everybody would stop at the stop sign, there's no lights in this county. But they would all stop at the stoplight, or they would yield at the yield sign, and things like that, right? You expect that. You had faith that your car's brakes, or automobile brakes, would work. Or when you got into your car, when you started it, if it's the old-fashioned turnkey or the push key or just blink and it turns on, I don't know what they do anymore. But it would start. You had faith. You had faith that these seats would stay upright. You had faith that I would show up this morning. Right? You had faith that the Holy Spirit would be here more than your pastor. See, you have faith. The question is, where do you put that faith? See, you can put that faith into either a global government, or in the economy, or the president, or the governor, or in this or that. You can put your faith into all these things. You can even put your faith that someday there won't be a war. Wouldn't that be amazing? But guess what? There will be wars and rumors of wars until Jesus comes back. There will be earthquakes, famines, pestilence. There'll be hard times. But the thing about it, where do you put ultimately your faith? And guess what? Put all your faith into that. When you surrender all, you're putting all your faith into Jesus. And there is no plan B. I was working in Michigan at one time.
at a fast food restaurant
called Arby's, the best roast beef sandwiches on this side of heaven.
It's the only place I know you can get roast beef sandwiches on a national scale. And I was an assistant manager at the store. And they go, we'll keep you on our books for a while in case it doesn't work out in Arizona. You can always come back and work for us. I looked at him and I go, I won't need that. We've gone back to Michigan once, but not for a job. Because no lie, because my God doesn't have a plan B. He only has a plan G. It's called God's plan. And so with that, Paul is writing to the church in Corinth. And he's talking about spiritual things. When I was an unbeliever, I didn't understand spiritual things. I didn't understand healing. I didn't understand faith. I didn't understand anything in the Bible. Because I wasn't spiritually in tune to God. And Paul is writing this out. He goes, okay, y'all, this is what's taking place. I just told you that when I come, I don't speak like men. I don't speak man's wisdom. I seek God's wisdom, and God's wisdom looks foolish to the world.
And now he continues that talk, and he goes, verse 10, he goes, but it was to us that God revealed these things by his Spirit. His Holy Spirit wants to reveal things of God to you.
Did you know that the Holy Spirit wants to reveal things to you? Every time you seek the Lord, that's what he wants to do. He wants to reveal things to you. He's not up there hiding things on you on purpose. He wants to reveal things completely to you because you're his child. He has a plan for your life. How many of you know exactly everything you're going to do this rest of this year? Okay, good. How many of you know somebody who has that plan for your life? I do. His name is the Holy Spirit, or God's Spirit. He knows what my tomorrow holds. Guess what? I don't have to worry about tomorrow. I don't have to worry about paying my house payment at the end of the month or beginning of the month. I don't have to worry about, will the church have enough finances to pay for missionaries? I don't have to worry about, because guess what? It's God's missionaries. If God tells us to do something, guess what? We get to do it. And he's full of that. And so, if you're wondering what to do next, ask the one who knows what to do next. How many of you wondering what to do next? You really don't know what to do next. How many of you wondering, okay, God, what do you want me to do now? Okay, so you all know what to do now, right? The Holy Spirit told you what to do, right? Now you get to go do it. Who's stopping you from doing it? I'm not going to stop you. Actually, I'm going to cheer on you. I'm going to tell you, go for it. Keep doing it. If God told you to do it, let's do it. Will there be sacrifices? Yeah. Will it be hurt? Will the people misunderstand you? Yeah. Because it says in the Bible.
And it goes here, it goes, for his Spirit searches out everything and shows us, well, guess what it shows us? God's secret, or deep secrets.
God wants to show you the deep things of God. The Holy Spirit wants to show you the deep things of God. The things that will pull things out of your heart. Whoa! But he can't do that if you're not living for it. He doesn't do that for anyone and everyone. He just does that for those those who are truly seeking Him, whose desire is to please Him. That's who He shows it to. And so here He is. He goes, I will pull back. I'll brush off all the dirt and I'll give you a map. When I was a little kid, I always wanted a treasure map. I always did that. I always wanted to find this piece of paper that had a trail, and at the end of the trail, what would it have? It would have an X marks the spot. And I was like, oh man, this would be so cool. I could wear a cowboy hat, pretend to be like a pirate type thing, but I didn't have a pirate hat back then. I had a little kid's cowboy hat. And I'm like, I could hop on my bike and follow this map. He's given me one. I just don't have the cowboy hat right now. I don't need a cowboy hat, I'm good. I got stocking caps for like a morning like this morning. But this is a treasure map. And it'll take you places that you never thought you'd go to. It'll open your heart. But the thing about it, there's also another treasure map. It's called prayer in the spirit realm. Praying in the spirit. Maybe you've never been filled with the spirit with evidence of speaking in tongues. Today you can receive that. Any day you can receive that. But when you pray in the spirit, you're actually tapping into something that other people don't have access to. Paul says, I wish you would all pray in tongues like I do. My question for you, if you do speak in tongues, pray in tongues, how much do you do it on a daily basis? Well, I don't. Why not? Why not? You brush your teeth, right? Y'all brush your teeth?
Yes.
Okay, good. How many of you brush them twice a day?
Yes.
I try. Some days at 11 o'clock at night, I don't feel like brushing my teeth. I'll be honest with you. I'm tired. But the thing about it is that you're willing to take care of the physical. What about the spiritual? Pray in the spirit. It says pray in the spirit on what? At one time, no, on all occasions. So praying in the spirit while you're shopping, what should I get? Ho-hos and ding-dongs or bananas and grapes?
Yes.
Yes, on both?
Yeah.
Okay. Praying in the spirit. Should I get this outfit or this outfit? Pray in the spirit. Because guess what? There's some reason why God has to have you there and praise in all situations. So no one can know either. Those who are married or have been married or those who have had parents, do you know what they're thinking? I've been accused of not knowing what's going on at times. And I don't mean this in a bad way, but how many of you guys who've been married or thrown home like that, the lady goes, I shouldn't have to tell you what I'm thinking. Us guys, we're not mind readers. And I don't mean that in a bad way, because I don't know what my wife's thinking all the time. Which is probably a good thing. I was having lunch with a couple guys on Friday. And one guy was telling us some stuff. And I'm just sitting there quiet. And a lot of times I get in groups, I just sit there quietly. Because I don't have that much to say. I say enough on Sundays and Wednesdays. Now I'm sitting there. He gets done talking. The other guy with us, he said a few things. The guy gets done talking. He looks directly at me and goes, what are you thinking? I go, I'm processing everything and I'm taking it all in. And I do that. And so a lot of people say, well, you're so quiet in groups because I'm processing and thinking. And I told them that. And all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit starts speaking and to encourage this gentleman. See, the Spirit understands what's going on. Wasn't that we had a great prayer time, even after prayer time? And people will be talking, and I'm taking all this information in, but at the same time, I'm listening, I'm paying attention, but I'm letting the Holy Spirit decipher what needs to be said. Why? Because I want to know the mind of Christ. The only way I get to know the mind of God is by the Spirit. And the only way I can get to know the mind of the Spirit is by being in the Spirit. I can't be in the Spirit by listening to loud guitars and rocking bands that blaspheme the Holy Spirit. I can't be in the Spirit realm when there's TV shows that are taking Jesus' name out of context, who are doing things that are contrary to what the Word of God says. It's hard to be in the Spirit then. But when I get rid of that stuff, I can be in the Spirit. I love listening to news. I love listening to sports. But I can only do so much because it'll take me out of the Spirit and put me in the flesh, and I'll start worrying more about this than knowing what the mind of Christ wants me to do. There's nothing better than watching a good, decent movie. Or listen to decent music. The lyrics are decent. See, it's not the style. It's not even the style of the movie. It's what they say. Because there's power in the words that come out. And so to know the mind of Christ is to be walking with Christ. No one can know God's thoughts except God's own Spirit. Verse 12 says, we have received God's Spirit. When you became a Christian, when you laid everything down, not just part of your life, but every aspect of your life, even the pain, the hurt, the frustrations, everything, the good times, the bad times, everything. When you lay it all down and says, Lord, it's all yours. All my relationships, all my finances, my job, everything is yours. My future is yours. I lay it all down. And then the Holy Spirit comes in on you. The Holy Spirit lives inside of you. And He guides you. He starts changing you. I am not the same person I was the day after I got saved. I had to renew my mind. Had to renew my tongue. That thing still needs to get renewed. Well, this tongue is wicked. It wants to tear things down rather than build things up. And James even talks about the tongue. It's more rude. I mean, we can tame a beast called a horse with a bridle in its mouth and tell which way to go, unless you're kind of afraid to get up on a horse that's taller than you. You try to be a cowboy and it doesn't work out too well. But you can put that bridle in it and you can guide that horse. But it's hard unless you have this thing come under control of the Holy Spirit. It will tear things down. What are we supposed to do? We're supposed to build each other up. Encourage one another. I mean, I love picking on people. But I have to say, is this picking on or tearing them down? Yeah, it is a struggle.
Because sometimes you want to lash out irrationally because you're frustrated with that person. Or maybe you're frustrated with God and you're like, God, things aren't going the way I want them to go. I did not sign up for this. First 4 months, our little girl went through 7 surgeries. I did not sign up for that when I got married, when we got pregnant. I didn't sign up for it. I just said, okay, God, I'll do this. No. But it was part of what God had for us. And God made us stronger. Started challenging me with my fasting. It's frustrating. But I had to lay it all down.
Then in verse 12, it goes, so we can know the wonderful things God has freely, He has freely given us. God's not up in heaven saying, oh, I don't want to give them nothing. Oh, they've been bad. He's not Santa Claus, y'all. stand for. He's up there wanting to bless you. He's not up there with a whack-a-mole. You remember that game? Wah-boom! Oh, here comes what's those things called? A gopher, wah-boom! Oh, here comes another gopher, wah-boom! They just had a little kid toy. Just play at Walmart for free. Didn't have to take it home. Didn't have to pay for it. But play whack-a-mole. How many can we get in a minute? In the toy section. He's not up there waiting for you to mess up. He's waiting for you to choose rightly so he can bless you. His eyes go throughout the world looking for who he can bless. The devil's up. He's roaring like a lion. He wants you to mess up so he can heap more troubles and more issues upon you.
Have you ever noticed that sometimes when you make one mistake, it compounds to another, compounds to another, compounds to another?
And it's like you feel like you're under this weight. And you're like, God, where are you? He's like, I didn't get you in that mess. You chose those choices. I didn't put you there. I allowed you to go there because if I did, you wouldn't reach out to me. Where other people will choose good things. Like, I'm going to do good things. I'm going to open the door for Granny. We're going to shut it in her face. I'm going to use an umbrella. I'm going to say nice things. I'm going to bless somebody. I'm going to do all the right things. And then God's like, oh, man, look at him. I'm pouring out blessings upon him. See, he's looking to who he can bless. We said it earlier. I'm blessed and highly favored. I don't know about the rest of you. I don't care because someone asks me how I'm doing from now on. I'm blessed and highly favored. They might not understand because they're in the world. They're calling curses down on themselves. I'm going to call down blessings upon myself. I'm blessed and highly favored. Everywhere I go, God's with me, and I'm going to have authority over the things around me. That's some good preaching, Pastor.
Yeah.
You're actually being nice today. Praise the Lord. Verse 13. When we tell you these things, what things? That God wants to bless you. What God is doing. We do not use words that come from human wisdom. In other words, remember Paul's writing the first chapter? He's talking about God's wisdom, not man's wisdom. He carries that over into chapter 2. He's not talking about God, man's wisdom, talking about God's. Guess what? I don't want man's wisdom. I want God's wisdom.
God's wisdom does not look like earthly. Because God's wisdom will tell you to put something aside for somebody. I heard this story this week. This lady who's a believer, the Holy Spirit spoke to her. God spoke to her. God still speaks to his people, to his children. I have two kids and I still speak to them. My daughter's 19 years old and I still speak to her. Guess what? She speaks back to me. In a good way. Sometimes with rolling eyes and things like that, I probably deserve that. I have a 15-year-old son. Guess what? We still speak to one another. And then like, all of a sudden I get sick. All of a sudden they come out of the room, I speak to them once, and I'm done. That'd be kind of weird, wouldn't it? Guess what? I still speak to my mama. Maybe not as often as I should. But I still speak to her. Guess what? I speak to my wife. I saw Mark Gazzella and his wife at some meetings we were at. And his wife goes, say hi to your wife. I go, I do every day. She meant from herself, but I do say hi to her every day. Mark just laughed at me and she just gave me the eye. Some of you thought that was funny. Some of you go, huh? I'm not awake, Pastor. But getting back to this lady, the Holy Spirit spoke to her. Says, put $528 in your glove compartment. In bills, in cash. And so she did. One day led to another, led to a week, led to months, led to several months and many more months. Now, son, she's at church on a Wednesday night. There's something about going to the house of the Lord. When she was there, she's ready to leave. The pastor goes, hey, can you take this young lady home? Because she doesn't have an automobile right now. She goes, oh yeah, I'd love to take her home. On the way home, and this is a good thing to do. When somebody is in your car, it's okay to talk to them. And so they started talking and striking up a conversation and enjoying each other's company. And this lady, who she's taking home, she fell on some hard times and rent was due. And she goes, she's been praying like, okay, Lord, how am I supposed to pay this rent? Because she got sick or something like that. I don't know the whole story. But she didn't have enough money to pay her. She had some of it. Her rent was like $800. And the people that she was living with understood her hard time. And she knew she'd get some grace. And she knew she'd pick up the hours and things like that. She had a plan to work it out to make sure she wouldn't fall behind. And she has a sense that God wanted her to do that. And they're driving home and she goes, well, how much do you have of the $800? And she said, how much? And she goes, oh, how much would be left? $526, I'm a little short. And then at that time, the Holy Spirit reminded her of the cash that was in her glove box. See, the Holy Spirit will tell you to do something at this moment in time that you have no clue to understand. Why am I doing this? But maybe sometime in the future, you guys are going to open that glove box and pull out that and say, I got a blessing. I want you to be an answer to prayer. So many times we want somebody to be an answer to our prayer, but many times we get to be an answer to somebody's prayer. And so she gave, or able to give her that money, able to pay for her rent. When we walk in the Spirit, see, people of the world will say, why don't you spend that money? It's been 6 months. You know, it's Christmas time. Don't you have gifts that you have to buy for people? Wouldn't that $526 be great? Did you know that in the Bible, I'm not sure if it's in the 1 Corinthians, but in one of the Pauline epistles, he goes, you have set aside money already for when there's need rised up? See, sometimes, rather than waiting for the need to rise up, set the money apart right now for when the next missionary or evangelist comes through, you can bless them. And on a side note, totally off subject, I believe Paul writes, I could be wrong with who's the writer, but in the New Testament it says, those who honor a prophet gets a prophet reward. So when prophets come through, honor them, and you will get a reward. Prophets are sent from God to point people to Jesus. John the Baptist was a prophet. And he goes, that's the way to Jesus. He didn't take him there. He goes, there's Jesus, go. He didn't hold him by hand. Woo, let's go get Jesus. He goes, go. All
right, back to the story. Verse 13, when we tell you these things, we don't use words that come from human wisdom. Instead, we speak words given to us by the Spirit, using spirit words to explain spiritual truths. Only the Spirit can give you spiritual truth. But the people who aren't spiritual cannot receive the truth from God's Spirit. Those who are living in the world, living a carnal life, not living according to Jesus' plan, will not receive the things of God. Impossible. Impossible. Because guess what? Because they're not in tune to the Holy Spirit. They cannot receive the things of God. And when you walk in the Spirit, you can receive the things of God. See, I can lead non-believers to Jesus,
But until the Holy Spirit convicts them and guides them into the relationship of Christ, they won't get everything I say. See, mature believers will understand prayer and fasting. The world will say, what? That's stupid. Why would you not want to eat for 25 days? That doesn't make sense. I'm hungry after the first day. Or they don't understand, oh, I'm going to go to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Did you know, back in the old building, I had a couple people ask me when we're going to start Sunday night services? And I told them, not yet. Because the Holy Spirit hasn't told me to do it. Now we have them once a month, approximately, sometimes more. And now we've done some Friday nights. Don't be surprised if we throw another Sunday night in there. Why? Because the more I'm with God, the more excited I get about God. And the world doesn't understand. Why would you want to go to church? It's kind of a waste of time. He doesn't answer my prayers anyways. Well, maybe it's not God. Sometimes the issue is the person looking in the mirror. That's not nice to say, Pastor. Well, sometimes we have to take ownership of our issues so we can grow, so we can be more like Christ. When we blame other people for our issues, I guarantee you, I can blame a lot of people for my issues in my life. I can start with my mom, my dad, and my five older brothers. You didn't have five older brothers like I did, have you? No, mine were special. I can blame my wife. Always. I can blame my kids. I can blame my dogs growing up. I can blame my professors in college. I can blame people. I can blame my past. But until I start taking and say, I chose some of these things, it's my issue. And I deal with them, I'll get set free.
But the world doesn't like to hear that. The world will say, well, you're the victim. Walk as a victim. You'll never be victorious if you walk as a victim. If you always claim victimhood, you'll never become victorious. Because it says, it all sounds foolish to them. Foolish to who? Those who don't know Jesus. They can't understand it. For those who are spiritual can understand what the Spirit means. Think about that. When the Spirit starts moving and starts speaking, as a believer, I can understand. And when you pray in the Spirit realm, ask Him for the interpretations. And He'll give it to you sometimes. And sometimes, He won't. I was in on Friday night, I had a choice to go to two different services. And I chose to go to one that I wanted to go to. I didn't mind going to either one, but this one I wanted to really go to. And I arrived, and I'm going to say probably two-thirds of the congregation was Hispanic. And I don't mean just from Mexico, they were from all over South America. And I get excited when we have like five or six different churches represented. Like on prayer, revival. He wasn't counting churches. He was counting countries. There was Nicaragua. There was Cuba. There was Mexico. There was Honduras. There was all these Spanish. And I'm like, whoa, this is... You know how they worship? They got into it. I'm not saying you don't get into it. You're not worshiping. But I like getting into places that I feel uncomfortable because it challenges me to worship the way that I've created with my whole being in the spirit realm. And so we have these Spanish people, and this preacher, he would go speaking from English,
And he gets excited and starts speaking in Spanish. And so the interpreter went from Spanish into English. I'm like, whoa! And so when we walk in the Spirit, let the Spirit guide us in all truth. Let Him speak to you. And so I'm in this service. I'm like, okay, Lord, what do you want me to do next? I don't know if this was during the worship part, during the preaching part, or during the altar part. And He told me to do two things. And so this week, I'm going to start working on those two things. I'll tell you what they are later. Right now, it doesn't really matter. And I go, why? You ever ask God why? Don't ask Him. Because He won't tell you most of the time. Our job is not to ask why. Our job is to be obedient to what He told us to do right now. Wednesday night, I had this all roped off. Right? Those who showed up, it was all roped off. And then Lois made us a cool sign pointing us this way. And people ask me, why? I go, the Holy Spirit told us. Okay. And then someone asked me, are we going to do it next week? I don't know. I was just told to do it this week. And then Mary comes in today and goes, we have to sit on the other side. I go, well, if you want, you can. But it's not roped off. Maybe some Sunday morning, we'll have this all roped off. And everybody gets to walking a little bit farther to the other side. But the thing about it, so many times, we get so much in a rut, we miss out on what God wants to do. And so, we can't understand the spiritual things without being spiritually in tune to the Holy Spirit. Those who are spiritual, I love this, can evaluate all things. When you walk in the Spirit, you can walk into a situation, good, bad, or indifferent, and you can evaluate what's going on and decipher things. I've been in situations where this person up on stage, everybody just absolutely adores and loves. And there's nothing wrong with that. And I walk in there, I'm like, something's a little off. I don't know what it is. And I've shared this with my wife many times. I go, I was in a meeting and something seemed a little off. I go, not bad, it's just off. And usually within 6 to 8 months, something comes up. And God has protected me. As a Spirit-filled believer, we can walk into situations, we can look into situations and say, I'm not going down that road because the Holy Spirit is protecting me. And it's called that the Spirit wants to show you, like, hey, stay away from that person. Hey, this person's safe. And He'll guide you and direct you.
We're almost done. Then you go home and enjoy. Then he goes, those who are spiritual can evaluate things, but they themselves cannot be evaluated by others. What does he mean by that? Paul is talking about the world has no right
to judge the church because they don't understand the things of God. Because their wisdom is fleshly wisdom. So when the world tells us, you cannot worship or you cannot gather together because you might get somebody sick. Guess what? They're walking based in fear. I want to walk in the base of the Word of God. It says, do not forsake the assembly of believers. The world will say, don't lay hands because you might get sick. I'd say, you're sick? I'm going to lay hands. When was the time Jesus laid hands on a leper and got leprosy? Never. When you walk in the Spirit, you don't get the world. The world gets you. It's the Holy Spirit that's in you. When you're walking in the Spirit, it doesn't matter what the world's coming, because you can say, world, get parched, because I'm blessed and highly favored, and I'm moving forward, and the world has nothing on me. So if you're sick, well, Pastor, guess what? The blood of Christ has kept me from being sick, and I pray. That means I take a little bit more orange juice. Give me a little bit more orange juice. Give you a little bit more vitamin D. Get out in the sun. If you feel a little lethargic, I mean, if you were here last Sunday at 4:30, you would have gotten, we talked about health. Dr. Teresa did an awesome job. Think about bringing her back for more than just an hour. She was talking about looking in the sun. She was talking about getting out in the sun. She was talking about exercise. Talking about all these healthy things. It was wonderful. I missed part of it because I was taking care of other things. But I'm telling you right now, the world has nothing on you. You're greater than any sickness. I'm not going to tell you to go and kiss the person who's sick. Especially if you're not married to them. That would be kind of weird. But go do what God tells you to do. Verse 16. Who can know the Lord's thoughts? Who? You want to know the thoughts? Who knows enough to teach him? It says that God's ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are greater than our thoughts. You might think you have this grandiose idea. It's nothing compared to God's thoughts. And his thoughts for you are good and not wicked and not evil. His thoughts want to bless you. His thoughts are not wanting to hold you back. His thoughts want to push you forward and see you do great and mighty things.
And Paul wraps up this little section. He goes, but we. I'm going to put rather than we, say I. But I can understand these things. For I have the mind of Christ. Think about that. But I can understand. I get to understand. I understand these things. What things? The things of the spiritual realm. For I have the mind of Christ. When I have the mind of Christ, I have the spirit mind on me, and I can understand the things of God. I can carry out the things of God. I can walk in the power of God. I can walk in the anointing of God. I can do all things in Christ Jesus, who called me to do those things. And what he's called you to do, you have the power. You have the authority. You have the anointing to go do it. Don't do it. No one's holding you back besides yourself. No spouse, no kids, no finances. Well, I don't have the finances to go on a mission trip. That's a lie from the pit of hell. You do have the finances to go on a mission trip. You have to go find it. You have to go raise it. But you can still go do it. Stop making other things your God, whether it's God Almighty. Excuses will become a God. Well, I can't exercise because I got this. Yes, you can. You can go for a walk. If Gary can get out there and walk, you can get out there and walk. There's a lady that walks through town. She's been doing it for, I think, 10 years. I don't know her. I've never met her. I say hi to her sometimes when she walks by. She has weights in both arms. And she's working out. She's pumping this. I don't know how heavy the weight is. Probably no more than 5 pounds. I think she carries them so the wind doesn't blow her away. If she can do something like that, and you're making excuses for not doing something, we can come up with excuses not to obey God. You don't know my situation. No, I do not. But God understands your situation. He wants to walk in your situation. He wants to heal your situation. And he wants to bless you. He wants to bless you, Cletus. More than you can imagine or know. He wants to bless you more than you want to receive the blessings. Imagine that.
Probably true.
Young man, God's going to do something greater than you can imagine and dream right now. Choose the right choices. The thing about it that you're saying to yourself, you're saying, well, that's not that big of a deal. Yes, it is. Ray Lewis, who used to be a linebacker for Baltimore Ravens, I believe. He goes, there's two people inside of you. You got the Joker and you got the King. The Joker will make choices that are stupid, that will lead you down the wrong trail. Or you have the one of a King, where you choose the right choices that will bring prosperity and blessing. But you get to choose which direction you want to go. Your grandma, your mama, your daddy, your brother, your pastor, or whoever cannot make those choices. You have to sit down. Am I going to make a wise choice and not go sleep with this person I'm not married to? Or am I going to make this choice and say, I'm going to live for God and for His glory? Am I going to stay away from those jokers who will open a can of Bud and say, hey, would you like some? That will cause me to do something stupid. Or am I going to say, I'm going to forgive both people and I'm going to go after Jesus and hang out with those who won't pop the Bud but will pop the Bible and say, what the Word of God says? But it's a choice. It's a choice. You can either choose to hang out with jokers that will joke around, or you can hang out with those who will thrive into the kingdom of God. Well, they're not as much fun. If you open God's word and say, God, direct me to the passage you want me to go, He will speak to you more than you will ever know. And these people over here, they're going to wake up with headaches, with regret, with remorse, and miss out on great opportunities for what God has called them to do by those who are open to God's word. And so I'm going to hang out with those who are going to push me forward, those who are going to do great things, those who will hold me accountable. I'm going to hang out with them because they're going to take me to a next level. Even though that might be hard, even though those decisions might not be pleasant and pretty, but there's something that will say, I'm going to either reap the rewards now by being a joker, or I'm going to invest into something for my future and reap the rewards later.
Let's pray. Father, I spoke what you told me to speak. I'm here to please you. And we thank you.